In both my digital and my print libraries, I have a book that's titled The Synopsis of the Four Gospels, and it's by an author. His name is Kurt Allen. This book is very useful in that it essentially lists side by side parallel passages of the four Gospels. Things that are in all four Gospels, such as the account of John the Baptist, this book shows four columns with the verses from like Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3, and John 1 accordingly. They'll list them side by side. But narratives such as Christ's birth that you find in only two of the four Gospels, Matthew 1 and Luke 2, the book only will then list two columns and the associated verses. Now, the reason that I bring this up is that this book showed that there is a connection between the gospel reading from last Sunday and the gospel reading from this Sunday that we might have missed. The two readings show up under the section titled The Call of the Disciples. There are four columns that include verses from Matthew 4, Mark 1, Luke 5, and John 1. The verses from John 1 were the gospel reading from last Sunday. And the verses from Matthew 4 are the gospel reading from today. And as you look at all four of these accounts laid out side by side, you get a sense of a common theme. Come and see. Come after me. Come and follow me. One day last week, I was looking for something different to watch on TV. And I came across this channel that you could subscribe to. It was called The Great Courses. One of the courses that caught my eye right away was something called The World's Greatest Churches. Episode 2 is all about the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is located in the Christian quarter of the Old City section of Jerusalem. It has a rather interesting history. Roman Emperor Constantine, the first Christian emperor of the Roman Empire, sent his mother, Helena, to Jerusalem to look for all of the places associated with the life of Jesus, including Christ's burial place or tomb. During her search, she finds three crosses near a tomb reminiscent of Christ's crucifixion. Legend has it, Helena places each one of these crosses near a dead body, and one of the crosses brings that dead body back to life, leading her to believe that this was the actual cross of Christ and his burial place. She then commissions a shrine to be built over the tomb, but that was just the beginning. Today, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is a very large building, and it includes several points of interest. Christians come from all over the world to see just where Jesus was buried. Many talk about being on a pilgrimage, seeking to find Christ. Here they encounter an aedicule or shrine that includes a dome over where Jesus was thought to be buried. Not far away and up a set of steps is the Greek Orthodox Chapel of Golgotha. The chapel is thought to be the actual Golgotha, the place of the skull, the exact spot where Jesus was crucified. There is a mosaic-like X in the ground surrounding a hole where the actual cross once stood. Here people kneel and reverently kiss the spot in the ground, tears in their eyes. A few feet from Golgotha, there is an area inside the church where it is believed that Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross. Not far from there, but on the other side as we travel down towards the Holy Sepulchre, is an area that is believed that Jesus was removed from the cross. And a few yards away from that, as we continue to walk towards the tomb, there is a flat slab where Jesus' body was prepared with the spices for burial. People often mob to this place wanting to touch that stone and lay things on it to be blessed. And that brings us back to the tomb, to the Holy Sepulchre, the most precious of all of these places. There's much to be said about the architecture, the marble, the precious metals, the craftsmanship, the many chapels that adorn this church. The video, I'm sure, didn't do it justice. 6 different forms of Christians worship and have presence here: Greek Orthodox, Catholics, Armenians, Coptics, Syrians, and Ethiopians. Seeing their different chapels alone would make it super interesting. The amount of people that come to visit, that come on pilgrimage, it must be staggering. I would enjoy seeing it myself in person. And I'm sure it must be overwhelming, emotional. When talking about pilgrimages, Pope Benedict XVI explained them this way: to go on a pilgrimage is simply not to visit a place to admire its treasures, treasures of nature, art, or history. To go on a pilgrimage really means to step outside of ourselves in order to encounter God where he has revealed himself, where his grace has shone with a particular splendor and produced rich fruits of conversion and holiness among those who believe. But I would have to disagree. I believe that people kissing the floor and rubbing a burial slab, hoping to get a blessing, have missed it. They have missed him. They have missed Jesus. The prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And Jesus, in our gospel lessons from this week and last, is calling his disciples to come and see. Come after him. Come and follow him. And in Luke chapter 24, verses 5 and 6, the angels in the tomb tell the women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." You don't have to fly to Jerusalem to find Jesus. You don't have to kiss a hole in the ground where many believe the cross of Jesus once stood to feel close to Jesus. You don't have to rub a marble slab for his blessing. You have those things and more right here every Sunday. Every Sunday we invite the Lord into our presence with the words of the invocation: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is here with us in our midst. And as we confess our sins truly repentant, he uses the pastor to forgive our sins. Again, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we move through the liturgy, we are slowly building up, repeating scripture, asking for mercy, praying, being led, and responding, ever reminded that God is present in the words of his book as we interact with him and he with us. We sing, we read, we listen. Listen to scripture being read, scripture explained, mindful that Jesus is the word made flesh. And as we listen, we see the baptismal font where Jesus unites himself with us in the water and in the word, unites us in his death and his resurrection, giving us life and salvation. It is here that Jesus finds us, a lost and condemned sinner, that we are given the gift of faith, making us children of the Heavenly Father. And it is also here in the front of the church that we see the altar. On the altar, among the candles and the altar book, are the chalice, a paten, some cups that contain bread and the wine, but very soon will contain the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On that Thursday, so many years ago, Jesus instituted the supper for us so that we might have forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith, and life everlasting. It is also a tangible, physical reception of his presence into ourselves. Take and eat. Take and drink. Come and see. Come and feel. Come and taste. Come and follow me. And to follow him is to take that good news out into the world, just like his disciples. So after this high point of the worship service, we end quickly, sent forth with the sign of the cross and with a blessing in the name of the triune God. Everything and more, much, much more, that the people go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem to find at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, we have right here in Tennessee, in Murfreesboro, at Grace Lutheran Church. Jesus is here every Sunday in our worship service, in the words of the invocation, absolution, in Scripture, in the sermon, in baptism, in Holy Communion. There's no need to travel to be in search of him. Jesus comes to you, and then he says, come and follow me. I think it would be great to go and visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I know it would have to be amazing. The video itself was pretty awesome. But don't go there to find Jesus. In fact, I would love to see a big banner in front of the tomb with the words from Luke chapter 24. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. When Jesus said, come and see, come after me, come and follow me, he didn't mean come to see where I once was, but come to where I am now, in the water and in the word, in the bread and the wine that is his body and blood, in the spoken word proclaimed in purity and truth. Seek a blessing where true blessings can be found, with Christ right here in your local Christian church. Amen.